So if so many thoughts and desires come in our mind and we don't act according to them because of external considerations based on our intelligence. Say, for example, we may feel, I want to beat this person. But then we don't beat. So essentially, aren't we faking? Am I audible or it's gone? So did you hear the question, all of you? Okay. So are we mostly fake? Most of the time, are we faking that we don't act on the kind of feelings that we get? And therefore, who is the real me if most of the time I'm faking? See, faking is not the best word for disciplining. Because in any activity that we do, the first me is not the best me. What I mean by that is the first me, say if as an author I'm to write an article, I can just sit down and I can write a 50,000 word book in 2 days. I can just meet a deadline of 50,000 words. But the first me is not the best me. I just put something over there, but then I need to edit it. I need to refine it. And no serious author will ever publish their first draft. The serious authors, they say the essence of writing is rewriting. The essence of writing is rewriting. So, what I can write in 15 minutes, sometimes I need maybe 1, 2 hours to edit it so that it comes to final form. So that is how we work in any field. There's a famous public speaker who said that, if you want me to speak for 2 minutes, I will need 1 month to prepare. If you want me to speak for 10 minutes, I'll require 1 day to prepare. If you want me to speak half an hour, I need 1 hour to prepare. If you want me to speak for 1 hour, I'm ready right now. Why? Because if I have to speak by 1 hour, even if I speak something which is not so adequate, some rambling, it's all right. I can speak something. Something will come out, and that something will be meaningful. But if I have to speak only 2 minutes, then I have to churn and distill so that whatever is the essential thing I want to convey, I'll convey in 2 minutes. There's another author, I think Samuel Butler, who wrote a letter to his friend, and at the start he says, "I apologize that the letter is so long. I didn't have the time to make it short." So, the first me is never the best me. So, even in music, if somebody says, "Oh, I like to perform music," so without any rehearsal, without any practice, they just go on a stage and they start performing. Well, it will be a performance which will be a nightmare for everyone. So the first me is never the best me. And this is a principle which we understand in everything. So it is said the best public speeches are those which are prepared thoroughly and delivered extemporaneously. That means, you prepare thoroughly, but when you're speaking, it appears as if you're just speaking spontaneously. Now, is that hypocrisy? Is that faking? No. Now, there is a particular way in which things have to be done in an effective way. And to come to that level, one needs to practice in the past. One needs to rehearse, one needs to prepare. So I don't think it's faking, it's more of preparing. So now, with respect to our not acting on our impulses, that is just a part of being human. If you see, nature itself has arranged to protect us from our lower side. Sometimes, we may feel if we are in a close relationship with someone, I would like to know what this person is thinking. Actually, it's a very dangerous desire. Because, if we could all see each other's thoughts, not a single relationship would be sustained. You think like this about me? How dare you think? I will show you. See, we all get nasty thoughts. We all get bad thoughts. And it is nature which is arranged to protect us by not letting our thoughts be visible to each other. So, of course, if we continuously dwell on those thoughts, then they will eventually come out as emotions, words and actions. But nature has given us that buffer. Some thoughts come in the mind, it's not that we have to act on them. So, it would be faking if we had no intention to change. So, for example, you know, I have an impulse to beat someone. And internally, I'm planning when I'll be able to beat this person and get away without getting any consequences. But till then, in the front, I smile, oh, you're such a nice person. So, that means when not the, just having a mismatch between the emotion and the action, that is not faking. That is just natural because our emotions are uncontrolled, our impulses are wild. And we can't act on those impulses in any area in life. We will not be able to do anything constructive. But when, not only is there a mismatch between our impulses and our actions, but rather there is no attempt to bring them in harmony. And we have the actions as a means to conceal our impulses till we act on them later. Then that could go in the zone of faking or hypocrisy. But quite often, the action often helps in bringing the right emotion. So for example, now if, say I'm sitting here, if I just lean back, you know, and I put my foot on top of this, and I have my head over here, and I say, no, I am feeling very humble now. Now that gesture itself is very is bossy. So that, now it could be possible that somebody might stay humble even in that situation, but it's very unlikely. So the certain actions are conducive for certain emotions. Sometimes by doing those actions, we facilitate the generation, the stimulation of those emotions also. So human culture itself is about having practices which help us to structure and guide our emotions. So for example, when we meet someone, in every culture, there is some way of greeting. Now, some people shake hands, some people fold hands, some people rub noses. You know, we find, what is this rubbing nose? But, you know, there are different ways in basically people express some courtesy, some greeting. So the point is, now we may shake hands with someone and we may not just want to shake hands, we want to shake them. We may have that feeling internally. But what happens is, we are, the culture involves giving us certain civilized way of expressing ourselves so that the wild emotions within it us can be curbed. So it's not faking, it's actually a part of prepare, it's a part of preparing. Now who is the real me? If there is so much of my life is about just restraining my impulses, then actually discovering the real me takes time. Now, if an author just writes whatever comes in the mind, if a musical artist just sings whatever comes, sings or practices according to whatever way they are practicing, or a painter just takes a canvas and puts whatever on the comes on the canvas, is that the real author, the real painter, or the real musician? No. It is by diligent practice for years where after that the real me comes out. As an author, you know, so every day I write a small article on the Gita, that is 300 words. But to write the 300 words, usually I write 500 to 1000 words. And then those 500 words I can write in 15 minutes, but to get down to 300 words, it takes me almost 1.5 hours more. So now the first what I wrote in the 15 minutes, is that the author? Yeah, that is also, you could say, one layer of the author. But the real person emerges not necessarily through spontaneous expression. The real person often emerges through systematic churning. So sometimes we think of real person means just whatever is there, bring it out. No, the real person means to bring out what is the best within. And in that sense, it's like digging gold. And digging for gold actually involves 99% of the time, the gold digger is dealing with dirt. They're dealing with dirt to remove the dirt. Similarly, to find the real me, we have to deal with the dirt of all the superficial impulses, short-sighted desires, the wild passions that are there inside us. But they are like the dirt which we dig out, dig out, dig out. And then gradually after that, the real me comes out. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. So Prabhu, how much time do we have? We can decide.
Can we have more questions?